Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I love you too. Matthew chapter 7. Crazy. Matthew chapter 7. I was duty administrator last night, and it's like 10 o'clock is when there's so much energy here, and I'm ready to go to bed at 10 o'clock. I don't know how you guys do it, but it's an honor having my mom and dad here. And my mom and dad grew up, both of them grew up in a Catholic home. They're first generation Christians, and I'll probably reference them later on in my sermon today, but they made the hard choices for our family and chose to accept truth when it was presented to them, and it came at a cost, and a cost that if you're a second, third, fourth, fifth generation Christian, it's a cost that we don't really understand. And those of you that are first generation Christians, you understand a little bit about what that means. And they made that choice to, even when it wasn't popular, and when their whole family believed something, they accepted truth. And they led our family, raised our family, and I was raised in a very good home, and because of choices that they made. And I'm very thankful for them. They just moved here from Minnesota. They've been here now 9 days now, 9.5 days. And so it's a little bit warmer here for them, and I'm sure they're enjoying what, for that, from Minnesota, this is like a heat wave. And but it's an honor to have them here. And then my friend Dave is also here. He drove here from Illinois. And thank you for coming today. It's an honor to speak in chapel, and for two reasons. Number one, I love the Word of God. I love talking about the Word of God. I love studying the Word of God, reading, meditating on the Word of God. And it's an honor to preach the Word of God. And so that'd be the first thing, is because I get to preach His Word. But secondly is because of you. And I know your schedules, and I know you wake up and you go to class, and then you go to work, and it's full. Then the weekend, you have your ministry, and you're tired, and it seems like you just kind of live your whole 4 years just tired. And that's okay. That's okay as long as you keep going. And I'm thankful. I really do. I admire you for the schedule that you keep. And many good people. I, in my opinion, there's not a finer group of young people than that are sitting out in front of me, and I truly believe that. And it is. It's my honor and it's my joy to serve you here at Hiles Anderson College. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to preach today on this thought, just two words, is your choice. And Brother Eggers yesterday preached on decisions, and I told him after what I was going to preach on. Is neat how the Lord kind of worked that out, but your choice. And here in Matthew chapter 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, and many are familiar with it. It's kind of where I've lived in my Bible the last, I think in February is when I started the series in my our Sunday school class that I teach on Sundays, but it's really been a part of my life, and I've really grown to like and enjoy this Jesus' sermon, and it's the greatest sermon ever preached because of who preached it and because of what he preached. And so we'll look at Matthew 7. Before we get there, let me kind of lay a foundation of where we're going to go. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture. But throughout the Bible, God and man is presented. God presents man, or man is presented with choices. And all the way from the beginning, you have Adam in the Garden of Eden. God says, Adam, here you go. You puts him in the garden. You eat of any tree freely that you want to eat. So here's the choice. But don't eat of this one tree. The day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So God gives Adam two choices. Then he tells them the end of their choice, or the consequences of the choices that he would make. I think of Moses when he met with the people before he died. He says, let's just listen to Deuteronomy 30. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have beset before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Why? That both thou and thy seed may live. And then he gives the consequences for not choosing life. Joshua 24:15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A week ago from Saturday, I was helping my parents move from Minnesota, and I was walking out of the house, I think it was for the last time, and I was closing that side door, and I saw Mom and Dad, I saw that silver plaque there under that light there, and it has that phrase, when you walk into our house in Minnesota, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And here Joshua presents to the people that you have two choices, but you have to choose, you have to make that choice. And that leads us to Matthew chapter 7. I believe, and we'll look at verse number 13, but I believe Jesus here presents, it's the end of the sermon. And this is kind of, as he concludes the Sermon on the Mount, I believe Jesus, he kind of gives them an invitation. And he presents several groups of twos or several choices to the people there that are listening to him preach this sermon. And he presents the choices, both of them. He explains what the choices are, and then he tells what the consequences are or what the end result is of those choices. And so let's get into it. We'll start at verse number 13. The first set of choices is this. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The first set of twos here in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus gives the conclusion and the invitation to his sermon, there's two gates and there's two ways. We have the wide gate, which leads to the broad way, and the straight gate, which leads to the narrow way. Jesus says, before you choose, let me tell you about these two gates and the two ways. The two characteristics of the wide gate, if you look at it in verse number 13, there's two characteristics of it. Number one, it says, broad is the way. Next, he says, it leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein. Many there going to be that go that way. The characteristics of the straight gate, it's narrow. It's a narrow way. Verse 14, it leads unto life, but few there be that find it. Now it's your choice. So he says, here's two gates, and they lead to two different ways. Many people believe this. The beginning, the gates, talks about salvation. I probably would agree with that. You enter in, there's few and there's many there be. You ever out witnessing and like, how could so many people be wrong? Well, here Jesus says that gate is narrow, not few there be that find it. But after that, Brother Eddie Lapina preached a sermon this summer on this passage, and it was a phenomenal sermon, but he talked about the two ways in the Christian life. And that word straight is where we get the word, it's where we get our word agony or agonize from. And God says, when you choose to go down that way, it's not going to be necessarily the easiest way. In fact, it won't be. It's going to be hard. There's going to be challenges on that road. You know, people preach the prosperity gospel. As long as you get saved, everything in your life is going to be great. We would say hunky-dory growing up. I don't know if you have that phrase, but everything in your life is going to be great. And God says, that's not that way. I'm going to put before you two. But if you would notice in verse number 13, I want to kind of point this out, and I want to get to the end of the chapter is where I want to spend most of my time, but the end of this, he says, the first wait, he says, it leads to destruction. And then in verse 14, it leads unto life. In each of these categories of characteristics of twos that he sets before them, Jesus reminds them, this is the end result of the choice that you're going to make. But before you make that choice, I want you to think about the end result. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 73. Hold your place there, Matthew 7, we'll come back, but turn to Psalm 73, the Bible says in verse number 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. And notice verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You ever been there before? This person's living a wicked, horrible life. It seems like he's making bad choices, and it seems like he's prospering. And here we have the writer here struggling with that same thing. I was envious at them when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Look at verse number 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. But if you will, look at verse number 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. And notice the end of verse 17. Then understood I their end. When you look at, he looks at the wicked and he says, it seems like God's prospering them. It seems like they're being blessed and they're making foolish choices. And he said, it bothered me. Verse number 16, it was too painful for me until I looked at the end. And when I considered the end, now it makes sense. I think I'm just going to stay on the path that I've chosen because I've considered the end. Now go back to Matthew chapter 7. I wanted to point that out. I think in making decisions, before you make a decision, would you consider the end? Would you consider the end of that decision? Next, Matthew 7 and verse number 15. The Bible says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus is telling them, hey, the next set of twos is the two trees that bears two different types of fruit. This isn't so much a choice for you as which fruit to bear, but to look at those people that are leading you and to look at their life and say, is this someone that I want to influence my life? Here he says, beware of false prophets. And he says, I'm going to help you to know how to determine, is this someone that I want you to listen to in your life? And he says, I want you to look at their fruit. I want you to look at their fruit. Several characteristics in the New Testament of what fruit means. Galatians 5, we're familiar with that, the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit is your character. It's what you really are on the inside. It's kind of what makes you, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of righteousness is talking about in Hebrews, and I believe James also, fruit of holiness in Romans 6. And that's talking about our conduct, what we do. Our character, who we are, our conduct, what we do. And then you have in Hebrews 13, it talks about the fruit of our lips. It's our conversation, what we say. Is the fruit of your lips, does it speak life to people or does it speak death to people? And then lastly, and this is really what I think this passage is talking about. Philippians 4 says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. John chapter 15 talks about fruit that remains. I believe he's talking about souls here. And I would ask you this in applying it to your life. I'll say, do the people that influence you, if you looked at these four areas of their fruit, what kind of a person are they? What is their character like? Is their character someone that you would say, that's good fruit? How about their conversation, what they say? Their conduct, what they do? And is it someone that you can say, I can pattern my life after? And then lastly, do they win souls? Are they a soul winner? Well, you, there's a lot of influencers out there, especially social media, boy, online. One of the dangers of that is we can't see their fruit. And so when we judge to say, is this someone I want influencing me or not, it's hard to judge that because you can't see their fruit. And God says, by their fruits ye shall know them. In the Christian life, you produce what you are, not what you want. And so how's the fruit in your life? If someone looked at you and said, is this someone that I want to follow? Is this someone I want influencing me? Well, let me ask you, how's your character? Would you have the fruits of the Spirit, what you are? How's your conduct in what you do? Is it good fruit? How about your conversation and what you say? Is it someone could listen to that and say, I want to emulate that, I want to be like that? Or is it crude? Is it crass? And then lastly, is souls a priority? Are souls a priority in your life? Next, I need to hurry. Matthew 7, and we'll keep going through this passage. Verse number 21. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Kind of an odd place for these three verses, and has nothing to do with choices or twos at all, but here Jesus puts there, and so I want to just address a little bit. Some people will use verse 21, only verse 21, to defend work salvation. He says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, but he that does the will of my Father. But if you look at verse 21, not in regards to verse 22 and 23, you get a little what Pastor says, squirrely in your doctrine. We know that, we don't believe that, but I wanted to address that here. The other side of that ditch, number one, is those that say, Lord, Lord, but they don't do anything. They profess to know the Lord, but their works don't follow. The other side of that is those that do a lot of good works, but God doesn't know them. God doesn't know them. And of course, we believe salvation by grace through faith. And I would say Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. And so to make sure that our works back up what our faith. And then this is the main lesson that I want to get to the sermon here is verse number 24. Verse number 24, if you have your Bibles, I want you to look at it as we study the end, the conclusion of this Sermon on the Mount. The last choice that God puts before them, and he gives them this parable of two different men who built two different houses on two different foundations. We're going to look in ways that these men are similar and then in ways that they're different. And I know in your mind you're thinking, you know, you want to sing, the wise man built this, and then we're not going to sing that today, but it is the song behind the sermon. If I sang it once, you'd never want me to sing again in chapel, so I don't even sing at all. Verse number 24, Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, notice that phrase, he heareth them, and then he doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So God describes the first man. It's someone who hears, someone that does it, he's like a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Of course, his house we know is his life. Verse number 25, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now verse 26, he describes the second man. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, notice that phrase, both men heard. Both men heard. Both men were under the sayings. Both men heard the exact same things. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. There's a difference. The first one did, the second one did them not. Shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. If you look at verse 25 and verse 27, both of them describe the same exact storm. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house. Let me say, first of all, young people, the storms that you face in life are going to be the same. Whether or not you choose to follow the straight and narrow path or the broad way or whatever you choose, you're going to face storms. The call to follow Christ is not a call for an easier life. Now, I believe the way of the transgressor is hard. We understand that. But the storms are going to come. Whether you're saved or not, the storms are going to come. Life brings storms. And both of these people, both of these men here, the storms beat upon their house. And the storms will be intense. In your life, some of you have already faced very intense storms, but in your life, you will face storms. I guarantee it. I look across here, and I'm just telling you, you're going to face storms. I'm going to face storms. It's a part of going through life. And when those storms come, they beat upon that house, and they'll beat upon your life, and we'll look back to when those storms come, and it's a testing ground, it's a proving ground. And we'll be able to tell after the storm is over the result here. Was this person a wise person or a foolish person? Take your Bibles. It's the last place I'll have you turn, but turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Jesus gives the exact same parable. Some people refer to this as the Sermon on the Plain. You have the Sermon on the Mount. And honestly, I think the things that Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount, he preached many times as he went and he traveled throughout the region there. And I think he gave a lot of these same exact principles over and over again. You know, they didn't have social media where he could just put it out there. And so I think when he traveled, he gave a lot of these same principles. So here we have Luke chapter 6. He gives the same exact story. But there's some things that I want to look at, and then we'll wrap it up. The Bible says in verse number 47, Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Vehemently is how that's pronounced. It means forceful or intense. If you look at verse number 48, I want to point out a few things. The Bible says when it beat upon that house, the Bible says it could not shake it. It could not shake it. If you were to ask me what my desire is for your life, obviously to do the will of God for your life, but as you go through your life and the end of your life is written, the storms and the pressures of life that come. And right now, goodness, we just had the financial withdrawal that's come out. Some of you are under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. And as those storms come, what my challenge is to you is to live a life where, because of those storms, if you look at verse number 48, it could not shake it. And that would be the testimony of your life. And when you go through, we look at it and we say, oh, couldn't shake it here. This person couldn't shake it. And this criticism didn't stop him. This challenge in his life didn't set him back. But it could not shake your life. But this is really what I want the message on. In verse number 48, God gives us a little glimpse here, and he uses a phrase here that he doesn't use in Matthew. He says, he is like unto a man which built his house and digged deep. And digged deep. My challenge for you young people today is obviously to build a foundation. The two differences is one heard and one did, and one heard and the other one did not do. And we saw the ruin of the one. The Bible says the ruin was great. Here we have Jesus again saying, you go that route, you build that house, you have no foundation, the ruin will be great. The ruin of your life will be great. Second person, though, the Bible says he dug deep. My challenge for you today, you're in college, you're building your foundation. My challenge is for you to dig deep. To dig deep. Dig deep in your walk with the Lord. The time you spend with the Lord. That's a foundation. You're building onto your foundation. And when the pressures come, when the stressors of life come into your life, we say there's a life that was built on the Lord because you dug deep in your walk with the Lord. Boy, dig deep in your ministry. Dig deep in your love for people. You know what it takes to dig deep? Number one, it takes time. It takes time. It's the person that when your alarm goes off in the morning, your roommates sleep, that's the person that gets up. That's what it is it's digging deep. You know, it's not the roommate that his alarm goes off and you wake up to his alarm clock and you have to turn his alarm clock off and wake him up. And that's where you live. I understand the reality. As you dig deep, it requires time. In the mundane seasons of life, you spend that time with your Lord, you're digging deep. You're working with people, you're digging deep. It takes time. Number two, digging deep requires effort. Requires work. When everyone else is playing around, when everyone is messing around, you're putting the effort in, you're putting the work in. The orchestra there plays, and I love that a few weeks ago they did an orchestra special. That's great, but that doesn't happen unless work is put in. And for your life, you have to dig deep. You have to put the work in. It just doesn't happen. Robert Abrams wrote this poem, The Night They Burned Shanghai. I won't read the whole thing, but it tells of a couple as they're driving to play cards with some of their friends, and on their route, they survey what is going on in the world. And the poem ends with these lines. I want you to listen carefully. Tonight, Shanghai is burning, and we are dying too. What bomb more surely mortal than death inside of you? For some men die by shrapnel, and some go down in flames, but most men perish inch by inch and play at little games. And I'll say this, you perish inch by inch, but you also build inch by inch. And really, it's just the choices that you make, the everyday choices of your life. Are you adding to your foundation, or are you building your house? I look out in front of me, and you know what I see? I see a bunch of houses. But you know what I can't see? I can see zero foundations. I don't know. I see some, in some cases, some very large houses, some very beautiful houses, some not so good looking now, I'm just teasing, but. You know, the truth of the matter is, I don't know whether I'm seeing a house that is firmly built or if what I'm seeing is a facade. I don't know. Now, you know for your life, you can see, you know your foundation, but I don't know. We can't see your foundation. All we see is the end result of when those storms come into your life. Have you made the wise choices to build your foundation, or is it a facade? We all look the same. You all are dressed pretty much the same. You all go through the exact same classes. You hear the exact same things. You listen to the exact same sermons. But is your house a facade? Is your life just a facade? You've built that house like the foolish man there. He built his house. But he forgot to build the foundation. He didn't dig deep. And I would challenge you in your life with the choices that you make. Here God presents the greatest sermon ever preached. The invitation of the sermon, if you will. And he presents before them two choices. Two men. One, he listened, he heard, it went in, and it went out, and he just built a facade. Built his house, it probably looked great. The Bible says it was on the sand, he probably built it right next to the ocean. It was probably a beautiful house. It didn't last though. And if you were to look at the two houses, you'd say, wow, what a grand house. Other man, he heard, it went in, the exact same thing, he went in, but he did something with what he heard. And I think in context here, Jesus is probably talking about what he preached here in the sermon, to do what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. But I think it can be applied to what, whenever you hear the word of God preached, what do you do with that? Do you let it come in one ear and go out the other ear and you live your life the exact same? Or are you building on that foundation? Are you digging deep? Are you putting the time in? Are you putting the effort in? Are you putting the work in? Digging deep requires strength. Digging deep requires strength. It requires time, effort, work. It requires strength. Not just physical strength here, but I think spiritual strength. And you get that spiritual strength by doing the right thing over and over and over and over again. I'll end with this. I'll just read the verse. You don't have to turn there. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19. The Bible says this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And then he gives us admonition. The foundation of God, it stands sure. God knows who are his. And then he gives this admonition. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You can build your foundation. You listen, you do, you make right choices, and you build it. But I tell you what will put cracks in your foundation more than anything else, iniquity, sin in your life. And you allow sin to come into your life and you don't deal with that sin in your life, what you're doing is you're putting a crack in your foundation. And it may start as a small crack, but I'm telling you, when the pressures of life come, when the storms of life come, when they beat against your house, vehemently, intensely, they beat against your house. Cracks in your foundation are not good. Cracks in your foundation are not good. Yes, the Lord is our foundation. It standeth sure. But then the admonition. You're going to name the name of Christ. You're going to be a Christ follower. Hey, depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. I look out in front of me, and again, all I see is a bunch of houses. And I would challenge you, your time in college, the time where you're supposed to be learning, build your foundation. Put the time in. Put the effort in. Put the work in. Brother Osgood, it's not that important. I can wake up and I don't have to spend time with the Lord and I go around on my day and everything is just fine. You're building a life without a foundation. It's so important. I look now at people that I went to college with or people right above me mostly, and sometimes I look at their life and I say, what happened? What in the world happened? And two things. I think either one, there was no foundation. It was just a facade. Or number two, they let cracks get into their foundation. Cracks crept in, people they listened to, things that they shouldn't have done. And cracks came in and they allowed that, and it just slowly broke away at their foundation. To where now you look at their life, and you know, I have a friend who doesn't even believe in God anymore. And you look and you say, how, what, you sat under the same messages, the preaching, the word of God you have, and how in the world? It's the foundation of your life. And the testimony, the end result that God gives, and I'll end with this, I'll close, but the end result that he gives, two results. He says the one, it's they could not shake it, stood firm. The end, the other one, the Bible says, great was the ruin of it. For all of you young people sitting here, I don't want that to be the testimony of your life. Great was the ruin of it. I'd rather it be, they could not shake it. They could not shake it. My parents are here today, and we talk about hard choices. They made hard choices. I'm seventh of 13 children. But because of the hard choices they made, you ask all my brothers and sisters, and now I don't know how many grandkids, countless, untold multitudes of grandkids. You ask them, and I am very blessed with the choices that they made. And your choice will not just affect you, but everyone under your house, your circle of influence. Because I believe when the Bible says great was the ruin of, the ruin was great, it probably was more than just his one life. It affected many other people. Are you living a life, are you building a life that's just a facade? Or are you building a life with a foundation? Are you digging deep? Are you putting the time and the effort and the work in? Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your word. Pray for the students here, Lord, that you'd help them to dig deep. Put in the time, put in the work, put in the effort. Pray that you give them spiritual strength. Lord, I pray that you'd help the first generation Christians here, Lord, to make wise choices. Second, third, fourth, to build upon the choices that have been put in place in their lives. Would you help us? Would you speak with us? Would you meet with us today? We ask these things in your name. As the piano plays, you come do business with the Lord.